This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ويل للمطففين الذين إذا اكتالوا على الناس يستوفون وإذا كالوهم أو وزنوهم يخسرون ألا يظن أولئك أنهم مبعوثون ليوم عظيم يوم يقوم الناس لرب العالمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي فالحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ثم ما بعد. Once again everyone, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Today our intention is to try to complete a study of Surah Al-Mutaffifin. This is in sequence of the Mus'haf, Surah number 83 of the Qur'an, one of the relatively longer surahs among the surahs in Juz Amma. This surah is actually uniquely situated also. There are three surahs that are very similar in their style. So you've got إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ and إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْشَقَّتْ. And إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْشَقَّتْ is the one after this one. So two surahs that are very similar, and then a fourth one that's also similar to them is coming after, and in between those three is this surah that's situated. And inshallah ta'ala, when we get to the next surah, we'll kind of see the benefit of that sequence as well. But I want to start with a small discussion about when this surah was revealed. There's actually quite a bit of debate even among the sahaba and disagreement about when this surah has been revealed. Some say that when the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina, like a Suyuti comments on this and says, when the Prophet ﷺ arrived in Medina, كانوا من أخبث الناس كيلا فأنزل الله ويل للمطففين. That the people of Medina were some of the worst when it came to cheating people in business practices. And that's what the surah is talking about in the very beginning, is talking about criticizing people who cheat in business practices, right? So he says it's at that time that the surah was revealed. Shaykh Waliullah Dahlvi rahimahullah and some other ulama have commented. I don't want to get too academic with you guys, but you should know some of these things. Sometimes you read in a tafsir, this was happening and then Allah revealed so-and-so, such and such surah. فَأَنزَلَ أَوْ فَنَزَلَتْ, then this surah came down. That actually doesn't always mean that is when the surah came down. It actually sometimes is paraphrasing for this situation happened and these ayat applied to that situation. In other words, it may be that the ayat had come way before, but they also applied, or they felt like they came just for this occasion. So the language is a little bit more flexible when some of these narrations are found among the sahaba, which is why about this surah, you'll find two almost conflicting views of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. On the one hand, he says it's the last surah revealed in Makkah. On the other hand, he also says it's the first surah revealed in Medina. And then in another narration, you find a similar statement by him, where he's saying only a small part of this was revealed in Medina. So there's a bit of a debate about whether this is Meccan or Medinan, but by and large, even Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu and others, hold on a second. So regardless, I'll personally share with you what I find more convincing, because this surah is going to talk about bad business practices, and that's actually one of the core concepts inside of the surah. That's where the surah begins, and we'll talk about that in some detail. I am more inclined to think this is talking about Mecca, because they were the center of trade. And Medina was more of a farming society. And some of the worst practices of the Meccans were also alluded to in the ayat of the Qur'an that deal with the people of Shu'aib alayhi salam. Because Shu'aib alayhi salam's people were, they were scamming people with their businesses. And لا تبخسوا الناس أشياءهم, and that kind of discourse occurs, in quite some detail in Meccan Qur'an. So in any case, that's a little bit about its subject matter or its time of revelation. But now we get to the heart of the matter. Let's get right into the surah itself. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. The word wail in Arabic is very hard to translate. I will tell you that it's actually originally not one word, it was originally two words. وَيْلَك. Way by itself is a word. So they have variations of it. وَيْح, وَيْس, وَيْك, وَيْب. They have multiple variations of it, but the way part is always there. And it's used for shiddatul huzn wal ghadab. It's used when somebody's extremely upset, when somebody's extremely angry, when they're even cursing at someone, they will use waylak for them. Or if they're really messed up themselves and they're in a horrible situation, they'll say ya wayli. They'll say it for themselves. So the word has many implications. And it used to be waylaka, meaning curse you. May the worst thing happen to you. And they would also use this for, I wish the kind of thing happens to you. I wish you get hit with sadness that, you know, that you couldn't feel any more sadness. It couldn't be any worse for you. It's like the really terrible thing to say to somebody. And the Quran then uses it, like the Arabs, they combined the lam and made it into one word. It's over time when you use a word over and over again, like when you study English etymology, sometimes there were words that used to be two words, and then they became one word, right? So over time. So that's how the word wail comes about. And that's why its tanween is actually, in a sense, artificial. It's actually, it was used to be a harf, and now it became an ism. So it's called an ism masdar. Now, just to recap, when the surah begins this way, wailun, this is actually a really powerful thing, because in the Arabic language, when you start a sentence, the standard is to begin with an al. Al-waylu lil-mutaffifin. But when you say waylun, it does a few things. One, it creates tahweel. It creates shock. It also creates mystery. There's some kind of terrible thing that's waiting for mutaffifin, almost as though you don't know what that is, but at least you now know it's terrible. And as the surah continues, that mystery will be solved. But the most important part of saying waylun and then anything after that is that it becomes kalam insha'i. And what that means in simple English is there are two kinds of sentences. There's a sentence in which you say a statement of fact. When you're just saying, the weather is hot today, full stop. That's a statement of fact. But when you say, whoa, or when you say, stop, and when you use language like that, you're not just saying a statement of fact, you're expressing an emotion. When you start a sentence with a nakira like this, waylun lilmutaffifin, this is actually kalam insha'i, meaning there's an exclamation mark at the end. Quran doesn't have punctuation marks. Its language has punctuation marks. The way Allah expresses Himself has punctuation marks. This is an angry ayah from Allah Azza wa Jal, captured in the fact that it begins with waylun. Now that you know that, one day you're going to be reading waylun likulli humazatil lumaza. You're going to be reading waylun yawma idhil lilmukadhibin. It'll give you a kind of a sense of how Allah is speaking and how a surah can begin with such rage. Which is yet another reason I feel that this cannot be a Madani surah, at least the beginning part of it can't be a Madani surah, because the people of Medina haven't been given extended warnings, and all of a sudden the first thing they hear is an extreme anger from Allah Azza wa Jal. No, Allah Azza wa Jal is, the way He gives revelation, His sunnah is bashiran wa nadira. He gives good news, He invites softly, and then eventually He gives the warning, right? So, but these people, the ones that we're dealing with in Mecca, have been given exhaustive warning. So I would be inclined to think that this kind of a statement is coming way at the end of the Meccan era, wallahu ta'ala a'lam. In any case, now waylun lilmukathibin, or lilmutaffifin, let's deal with the word taffafa. This is a very interesting word of the Arabic language. To make the long story short, there's lots of things that can be said about it, but two main ideas, they would, you know, if you pour a bottle, like if somebody asks for juice or something and you're pouring, or you're filling up a bottle, like it's even better example, you're filling up a bottle with a faucet, right? And you're waiting till it goes to the top. And if it gets to the top and the part that spills over a little bit before you stop the faucet, that's actually called tifaf. Or when somebody's filling a bag of rice and they're filling it and filling it and filling it and filling it and then some of it spills over. That's tifaf. Now, the word mutaffif, taffafa, means to take a little extra on the top, to have some extra, or to remove some extra from the top, just a little bit. And the idea of tatfif, because it taffafa, the fa'ala form for the Arabic students here, when you say things like qashara in the Arabic language, or qadda, or qarrada, these are words in which you don't enhance, but you also decrease. In other words, taffafa could mean to take a little extra, or to give a little extra. It's one of those two things, okay? To give a little extra, to take a little extra. Now, how does this work? It actually is, if I were to imagine an ancient store or ancient, you know, grocer who sells flour, who sells rice, and somebody gives him a bag, fill this rice for me, and he's going to charge by the bag, right? So when the bag fills up, he has this kind of, you know, knife looking thing, it's flat, and he scrapes it off the top so he can close it, right? And now this knife thing, imagine if it's a little dipped. So when he scrapes it off the top, he doesn't just cut a straight line, he kind of takes some from the inside too. Just a little extra. So he was going to give 100%, but now he's giving 99%. He's saving himself, his merchandise, a little 1%, 0.5%, a little bit. The idea is you take from your customer just so little that that they don't realize you stole. They don't realize it. That's tatfif. And then on the flip side, if you are the customer, you are haggling and haggling. Okay, fine. I know I just bought this from you. I just went and bought a pizza, but the pizza was a little cold. Throw me an extra slice. I want one for free. I want to talk to the manager. I want something more than what I paid for. I just want something more. I'm the annoying customer that always wants more than what I paid for. This is tatfif from the consumer's point of view. So there's two kinds of mutaffifin. And one of them is okay. You're haggling and you're trying to get the most you can and you want to get every penny's worth. Fine.